Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Brother Willie Robinson, Pastor Willie Robinson, will you come and minister the Word of God to us, my brother?
How are you? We in LA. Yeah, boy. Can I sing a song? I saw one last weekend. Praise God. Well, it's good to be back in Memphis, Tennessee. Good to be back here to preach to you guys. I want to say thanks for sending me out of town to the ministry conference. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Yeah. Wasn't no Piccadilly there, but I enjoyed myself. They got a place down on Eagle Mountain, the Cattleman's. It's not a restaurant or something. Yeah, boy, that's all they had in there was cow. You know, I said, well, you know, you guys in Memphis, they got a lot of hog in Memphis. You know, hog, roast beef. Some other kind of beef there, but it was good. You know where I'm from, we like lean meat. We don't like no fat meat. You know, so man, all that good lean beef. So I enjoyed eating. Thought I'd bring that part first, so you guys would think about Piccadilly while I'm talking. Get that out of the way, see, and go eat some pasta. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started for today. Let me ask this question before we have a word of prayer. Does anyone have a financial testimony? Oh, you got one in the back. No, give it to her, Dr. Oda. We got one in the back. Yeah, we're going to put it on film. Yeah, she don't know she's going to be on worldwide TV. You know,
good morning.
Hallelujah.
I had an individual owing me money, a lot of money. Uh-huh. And I've been praying about it, sticking them in his angels on to make them give me my money. Sure enough, I did.
Uh-huh.
They did.
Amen.
And I got a lot of money from this people. And they owed me that money. Had owed it to me for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
So I just praise and thank God that they obeyed and I got my money.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good finance.
It came
in. Yeah. Your Pastor Cruz would say, you didn't get a pastor or anything. I don't know where Pastor Cruz got that from. You know, it was a guy, he told Pastor, you know, we millionaires. And Pastor looked at it, and Pastor said, I haven't received a tithe yet. Boy, I was standing by Pastor. I couldn't help but laugh. Pastor said, let me know you about send that tithe in it. Go, anybody else got one? Just one financial. Okay, anything else anybody got? We're going to let you tell it if you got a good healing. Okay. We don't have it. Okay, Dr. Oda, look like we just got one good one. One good one. It's a lot of money, though. You hear that? She said there was a lot of money involved in it. She had to have a foot tub to take it home. Hit a lot of money. You just don't carry that around easy. Amen. Well, all right, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you now. We honor you. We yield the flow to the Holy Spirit that he might lead and guide us, that we may enjoy the good things of God. We set ourselves, Father God, to be hearers and doers of the word. And we thank you. It's the word of God that puts us over and calls us to triumph and to have victory in this life. We understand that and recognize that and give the word its place in our life. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I will probably talk a little bit about the conference as we go. Would that be all right if I just stop off every now and then and talk about the conference as we go? Because I'll tell you what, we had five speakers every day. Yeah, five speakers every day. So I'm going to tell you, with five speakers every day, I'm not going to fuss at anybody I see sleep from now on. I was holding my head like this. I said, good Lord, that's you go to lunch and come back, man. I tell you what, that after lunch preacher, he going to have a hard time keeping. You go down and they give you all that beef, too. You go down and eat all that beef. You come back, man, I tell you what, You have to stand up to listen. You can't sit down. You surely going to nod if you don't go to sleep. But so that was a problem I had after lunch. And after dinner, I had a problem with Copeland, you know. Copeland, you know, the older he get, the more he slow down, you know. He slows on down, you know. And so he talks a lot slower. Plus, he'll do about two or three songs. It all depends. If the first one go off pretty good, then, you know, you might get two more. If the first one don't go off. But after the first night, every time he starts singing, Phil Driscoll will ease up in the back and blow that trumpet. And now you see Copeland lean back and say, oh, that Phil, boy, I mean, he blow that whole roof off of that place, boy. And so Copeland had to do another number. That Phil, boy. And we had a good time, though. I mean, enjoying the music part of it. So that means the music went on a good while. But we didn't take no offerings. You know, I didn't take any offerings. So since he didn't take any offerings, he didn't get to preach on money like he usually do. So he Jesse Duplantis talked about it, money. So Jesse said, well, nobody told me, but I'm going to take an offering. So that was the only offering they took, was just one offering. Jesse took it up. And other than that, it was just all preaching. Preach, 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 preach. Now, in our discourse, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit we have here. And we've been talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the works of the Holy Spirit after we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And actually, we did three lessons on the Holy Spirit. And the last two we did was important because I was trying to make all of us see that it's important for us to know more about the Holy Spirit because of the Holy Spirit being the last gift brought into the body of Christ. The other eight worked in the Old Testament. So the tongues and interpretation, receiving baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the working of the Spirit is available to the New Testament church or the church. And it's important that we know how to minister this part of it as disciples. See, it's bad when you know about the Holy Spirit and somebody tells you, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can't take them there. You know, you stop off. But now, you know, I mentioned this in our discourse that it's a whole lot of other areas that we deal with that we don't know how to minister. And we've been in church all this time. And so when we set goals before us, we'll have to know how to apply the works of the Holy Spirit, or let's say it like this, we have to know how to put it to work in our lives. And you know, more and more I'm finding out that everything we have in our spiritual walk hinges on what we know. See? If we don't know enough, we don't get enough. And if we're going to live by faith, then we have to know what the words say about it, right? Because we found out that faith is imparted in us, according to the scripture. It's imparted in us. And since faith is imparted in us, then we found out and received more light from the Old Testament, where the scripture says the interest of the word bringeth light. So if we're going to walk in faith, we need light. So we talked about light. We talked about light in our, with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about Jesus when he came saying he was the light. He was the light of the world. And he would fill you with the Holy Ghost. See? So he brought the light to give to us so we can walk in the light. And so when we're walking in the light, we can easily say we walking in faith. You see? I like the way Kenneth Hagin always said, you know, he said, if you get hold to the word of God, you're getting hold to faith. And all you need to do is act like the word is real. Walk in the word. And as you walk in the word, more light will come. because you're living in the light that you have, so you get more light. So talking about the Holy Spirit and, you know, bringing the two together, we found out that if we're going to minister the Holy Spirit, then we need to know some of the works of the Holy Spirit. So we dealt with the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we talked about how important it was to work with the Holy Spirit as far as receiving him and finding out what he has to offer to us once we received him. And we know, we didn't go through the whole chapter, but we did talk about the edification part of it, how you can build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. We talked about, you know, that you had to enter in by faith because you're obeying the word. You know what the word told you to do, pray without ceasing. So you know that. So you enter in by using what God has given you as a prayer language. So when you enter in by using the Holy Spirit in the works, we found out that the Holy Spirit has more and more to offer. But we are the ones that have to put it to work. Now, we talked about interpreting tongues, didn't we? We talked about interpreting tongues. How many remember how to interpret? Come on, guys. Now, tell them, Peggy, how to interpret. You know, if you're going to interpret, you got to ask. That's right. You're right. You got to ask. You never will interpret if you don't ask. You see, we use a scripture over there, you know, about in 14th chapter about praying in the Spirit. You know, when you pray, ask that you may interpret, because no man knows what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Nobody but God. So I told you guys, I'm just as guilty as the rest of you all. If you've been doing like me, if you've been praying, get through praying in tongues, get up and walk away. Don't ask God nothing. You see? And you know, and it just kind of, you know, you I guess, you know, just being more natural minded, you just get up, so, well, I got to go now. I got so-and-so to do this to do. You go right back over on the natural side. You've been over on the spiritual side, but you left part of it, you know, the most important part. You forgot to ask God, you know, to interpret some of that for you. You know, let me know some of this, because you may be praying some things that's beneficial to you right now. And so when you ask for interpretation, you remember how I told you it comes. It comes. It don't, yeah, it comes from the inside out. You know, if you're by yourself, you may speak English. You may switch over and speak English out of your own mouth to yourself. But it won't be as many times as you would get it through illumination. You know, you'll begin to think different. You say, well, you know what I'm thinking about? I don't know how come I keep getting in my thinking. I don't know how to go by and get Brother Willie $1,000. I don't know why. You just prayed it up. But you know, most people, when they get something like that and they find out that, you know, hear you talking, they say, well, you know, I needed $1,000 last week, and I was talking to the Lord about it. You know, and then all of a sudden they say, that's what the Lord told me to get $1,000. I had it in my purse. I had it in my pocket. You know, all I had to do was just obey what I was getting and go do it instead of thinking, you know, well, Brother Willie got $1,000 already, you know. But, you know, God may be trying to get $10,000 back to you. You just didn't know it. You know, you didn't come and get your return off of there obeying God or whatever God's plan was. You just let it fail by the wayside. You didn't get it because of the fact that, you know, we're not doing what he said do because we don't know the results. See, if we don't know that, it's good results in me asking for interpretation. It's good results in that, you know. I told you about I was praying at home, and I just said, I'm going to just sit here in the chair for a minute and just wait on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I knew my daughter was going to call me. And she called. I just knew she was going to call. She says to me, you know, I'm locked out. I got my car locked in the garage. I can't get in there and get my car out. You think you could come by and help me? And I knew. I knew you was going to call me. But I didn't tell her. I just went over and helped her get a garage to open and what it was. But I say this to all of us. There's nothing wrong with practicing. You know, I made an example last week about practicing, didn't I? And I tell you about continual practice. Y'all remember? I made an example. I went to Linda. I said, you know, Linda used to train people in bodybuilding, and she never could have somebody come one time a week and get anything. See, now she got to give you a regiment or she got to give you a schedule and say, you come three times a week and do this here while you're at home, or drink a lot of water and come, and we're going to work with you three days a week. Now, these 3 days a week just going to maintain you. But now, if you want to build up some, you're going to have to come 4 days a week. You see, well, how much is that? You know, that's why we don't think about the four. How much is that? we money, money. Don't matter how much it is you're trying to grow. You know, what's his name? Wisdom, the guy who, his name is Murdoch, Mike Murdoch. Murdoch said he'll pay $10,000 for a book. He said, because that book got in what I want. It's worth it to me. He said, so many men put things in books that's important to you, but you got to be willing to pay for it. You see? So what we do as Christians, we don't pay for it because we want it right now. I'll pay in the spiritual arena is time. We don't want to give no time to it, you see? We don't want to give no discipline to it. You know, you talk about fasting and praying. Shoot, you done did it before too? And you've been in the Lord about 20 years? Oh, I used to do that 20 years ago, but I'm doing that now. No, that was good back in the day. It's good for you right now. It's good for you right now. It ain't only just good for you health-wise. It's good for you spiritual-wise. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that. But you know what Jesus said, don't you? He said a lot of his unbelief come out by fasting and praying. You know, a lot of people walking in that unbelief and don't know how to get rid of it. Say, I don't know how come so-and-so. Yeah, I do. You don't believe it. You know, and if you don't believe it, it's not working for you. Well, I was meddling with that. I'm going to keep on going. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And you ain't going to fast anyway. Anybody here going to fast this month, this January? Shoot, I was telling them, Jenny, we'll have Pastor Cecil to have us fast the whole month. Whole month. Total abstinence the last day. You don't do nothing last week. You don't drink no water. You don't spit. You don't. You get rid of everything. And your people be around you eating hay. You be looking at people. They have something in their ice cream cone or something. You be getting all up close to them. Yeah. But look good to you, boy. But actually, you know, people don't fast. I don't hear them talk about it like they used to. But, you know, actually. But when you're young in the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. You don't realize how much on fire you be for the Lord. Yeah, I called my wife back when I was at the meeting, you know, and I thought about it. I said, dog, I've seen the people, you know, leaving the hotel at 6 o'clock in the morning. They was getting up, getting out of there, boy. And I said, wonder where they going, sir? They was over there lined up. The meeting started at 9:30. So they was over there in line. I thought about how we used to do, Jenny. We used to be in the same line. All us hungry, boy. These folks hungry. They in line, boy. They not playing. They want a seat right up there, right up on the spout. When it comes out, I'm going to get some of it. But that's the way we were back then. And I told Peg, I said, my mind just went back to how we used to go to the meetings, boy. Everybody sitting out there waiting. Yeah, I mean, no air conditioner, no nothing. But no, I don't think they were selling water then. You just in line waiting, you know. And when you get up there, you know, you got a handful of stuff, you're going to run to the front and go, everybody see that I got all these. Everybody want to be under the spout, boy. I guess I'm going to get up here and say, well, look, when the spirit falls, I'm going to be right here. I'm going to fall with it. And so I thought about it. I said, man, we was hungry Christians. Boy. I mean, travel, do all that driving to get to the meeting. And just you get there to feed on the word, have a good time in the Lord. I mean, but, you know, the older you get, you know, it kind of slip away from you. That tells you something about the flesh, don't it? I tell you, that flesh will pull you just right away, little by little, you know. And you say to yourself, you know, well, I'm going to do so-and-so, so-and-so. I'm going to do this. But back in those days, meeting first, boy, we get a whole carload of folk. So we going to the meeting. We going to camp meeting and just have a good time in the Lord. We need to maintain that. And I thought about, you know, in the meeting as I was listening to other ministers preach about how to advance in the ministry, you know, and about mistakes they made and how they corrected the mistakes, how the Lord showed certain different things, how to grow the ministry, what not to do and all that. I was thinking about that. I said, boy, if we could just get young people now on fire, you know, take them away, you know, they're getting the word, good things are happening, Spirit of God is moving, we'll get those moves. But when you get lazy, you know, the Spirit of God know you're lazy. He know you don't want to do them things. He know you're not going to do those things. And he'd send people by to prompt you to come on, get up, you know. And because when you want God to move, you know what you want, don't you? You want God to move right now. You know, you won't know how come he ain't got in yet. You know, I just started believing him a minute ago. I ought to be ready. He hasn't by now. You know how that works. You know, we believe it. You know, shoot, I'm a believer. Shoot, that ought to be. But, you know, you're thinking, I'm not putting no time in here. But God has called us to a lifestyle. He wants to live this way. That's the way he lives. So he's expecting us to live the same way because we believers and not doubters. So when we are moving in the direction of operating in the Spirit, doing the things of the Spirit, putting the Word of God first, we're going to start getting a lot of results. Now, about the Holy Spirit and the works and praying in tongues, I was telling you guys and building yourself up on your most holy faith, interpreting tongues. I think we stopped on that particular point on interpreting tongues. Didn't we stop on that? I think we stopped on that. We might have did one more. I didn't bring my notes on the last week, I don't think, of what we did. This week, though, we're going to be talking about self-centeredness. If you will, Valerie, turn to Proverbs. Put it on the board up here. Let's go with Proverbs 13:10. We're going to start with 13:10 now. Let me say a few things about, you know, about being self-centered. Last week, I did mention this part. I didn't talk about it in the review. I talked about us all knowing our callings, see. And I was talking about knowing our callings from Romans 12 chapter. And I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it 2 weeks in a row because of the fact, this fact that so many people in the body of Christ don't know what God wants them to do. So that's a big hindrance to people when you don't know what you want to do. You don't know it. After you seek God a little while, you don't get anything, then you just kind of fall back and doing what you used to do, which is nothing. That's spiritual. You go back doing natural things. You know? So we found out that it was a process to get to find out what you're doing. And I mentioned that in Romans 12 chapter, talking about us renewing our mind to the Word of God, and that we present our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. And it goes on and said that we might know what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we know that it was synonymous with Jesus' teaching. Jesus said everything worked a certain way, didn't it? He said when you plant the seed, you get what? First the blade, the stalk, and the product. So we want to begin to walk up to what God have us. See, it's the same thing with a calling. You know, if God called you to be a millionaire, you know, you just don't give you $1 million and say, go. You know, you might not give it $2 and say, go. But as you begin to work it, it begin to grow. You see, same thing with the ministry. You know, you know, if you call to be a pastor, a lot of time, God sets you under a pastor. He get you ready. You see, and begin to practice. But, you know, it's too many times I brought this point out, so I want you, it's important to remember. Remember this. It's too many times, you know, people say that I'm called to God, and they just go right on after they get saved, you know. So, well, I got saved yesterday, you know. Well, why are you preaching that next week? You know, well, I thought I'd come over and ask you, could I preach for you? No, it ain't God's plan. You know, God talk about growing people up. Now, he talk about not dealing with novices and all that. He meant that. It was that I was listening to somebody say, they had been preaching 30-some years when God told them, said, well, you just not moved into what I call you to. 30. And that's what all of us. Because, see, God knows when you're ready. See, he has a system, and he works by his system. He'll get you ready. But, you know, the thing is, you know, you think you're ready when you're not ready. And so that's our mistake. That's been our mistake. You know, we went along, and I was thinking about this when I was in the meeting. Now, I was listening to a lot of those ministers talk. and how they talked about the mistakes they made because of that fact. See, one way no God, you get out and out ahead of yourself, and you think, so, well, you know, I know God would, you know, have me to do this, or God would have me to do that. But a lot of times God not telling you to do those things. He's not telling you at all. And, you know, I was listening to Mac Hammond. He talked about that himself. Mac said he got 7,000 members. He said his payroll is about $36 million a year. He got, I forgot, he decided how many employees he had that was working. He said he give all them good, they got good benefits and everything. And says he was believing God every year, you know, to have enough to, you know, continue to run. And he said all of a sudden the ministry started falling off. He said, I don't know what made it fall off. He said, I was down to 6,000 people. He said, well, he didn't say much about that. Then he said, I fell down to 5,000. He said, well, you know, you go looking around now. He said, you know, because the money going down with him. You know, I got to pay all these people. So he dropped down to 4,000. Now I got to lay some people off. He said, man, it's not nearly enough money. He said he began to offer them packages to leave some that was old enough. He said he got, I think, 30 or 40 people to take a package and to go ahead on leave the ministry. He said, well, it's about time now to go before God. He said he was believing God and, you know, to meet the budget. And he said God began to deal with him about himself. He said, you know, he want that money now. He need to get some money. I got people. I need some cheese, baby. You talking about? He said, no. He said, God was dealing with him about himself. He said, well, Mac, you know, you have to believe me like the scripture says to believe me, you know. So Mac said he's the kind of guy, he says that once he puts stuff together, he'll just put it on to work. And he says that it had packages working, and he said the Lord showed him how he was just believing for enough, not more than enough. He said, I saw that was my mistake, that, you know, he said I was believing God for enough, but he said, I'm so into believing and operating the way I do things. He said, like, you know, like he in charge. He said, like, I'm in charge, you know. So he believed what he put out there. It was working up to that point. But he said it was just always at a certain time of the year, he fall back in the red. He said, by the end of the year, about December, he said, I'm back in the black, but just barely over there. He said, every year it was working that way. He said, fall back to the red. And he said, in the year, I'm back. He said, all of a sudden, it starts staying back in the red. You see, because of him using the way he was using his faith. See, he wasn't putting it out there. See, you're not understanding that he was leaning to his own understanding more and more and more. And he said the Lord began to talk to him about how to judge yourself and how to get that out of there. He said he began to, you know, judge yourself and he realized, you know, that that was one of his problems. So at the beginning, he said, because most of us know our problems, we won't face them. He said, you know, he said, and he said, I wasn't facing. He said, I had some more things that I do that I was doing that wasn't right in line with the word of God, which I'm not going to tell you guys. He said, but you're talking this one about the money. So he stayed with the money part and how he began to bring it back up by obeying and looking to God. See, what happened to us is the same thing. Wherever God got us, we don't know how to go to God for our leadership, because we start leading ourselves, see? You start leading, and you don't look to God, and things going good for you too, you won't go look to God. That's what his main point. He said things was just looking good for him, and he just was flowing in the way he know to flow. But you want to believe God for continual increase. You want to have a schedule whereas you got something going that will keep you to the fire, so to speak. You know, one of my desires is that the church be open every day. Because something going on every day. You know, whatever you know you need, you can come and get it. You know, if we have service two or three times a week, it's fine with me. Because, you know, people will come to service if you got it. If you're offering whatever you're offering to people, they'll come, especially when it's free. They'll come. They just come. If they get what they need, if you offer them what they need, they'll come. See, Richard Roberts say, everybody, he did a healing thing last night. He said, hey, don't forget about healing. All the stuff they pray about is good. He said, y'all remember? Brother Hagin said, that's the dinner bell. He been talking about offer healing, you know, have that in there, worked in, because so many people are come because they're sick, because they need to be well. And which he's right about that, you know. So he was just making some last-minute hits that wasn't covered throughout the week as he began to talk about his ministry and his dad's ministry. You know, he talked about having that anointing on him to lay hands on the sick. He said a lot of times oil would leave the hotel till that anointing came. He said sometimes he'd be 30 minutes late getting to the service. He said, and they said, well, Dad, we're going to be late. He said, there are people awake. He said, the anointing is not here yet. And he said his dad told them, so that anointing come down his right arm from his shoulder down. And he said, when that anointing come, he said, okay, get the car ready. I'm ready. He said, I'm not going, and people expecting to get healed, and that anointing is not here to heal them people. I'm not going down there and try to pray for those people without that anointing. See, and he said his dad would go down there, and he said, and pray for folk. He said sometime they would take him, he'd be just like a dish rag. They had to carry him to the car. He'd be laying hands, try to get everybody in the building. Everybody in the building. And he said his dad would tell him, say, you know, I want God to heal them all. He said it happened one time in his ministry. Everybody in the building got healed. Everybody. He said the anointing come on oil. And he said they was out playing golf before oil passed away. And he said oil stopped out on the golf course and turned around and said, that anointing on me going to come on you twice. And he told us, Richard said, he looked at his dad. He said, only that. It ain't going to come down your right arm. It's going to come down your left arm. And he says, it's going to come down. He says, it's going to even come out your fingers. He said, it's going to be so powerful that it's going to come on. He said, after I die, he said, that's when it's going to happen. So Richard said his dad was dead 3 months. He said, that power hit that left hand. He said, that power, like his dad told him, he said, power hit that left hand. And he said, that power was strong too, boy. He said, I come down to that ministry. He said, I feel it right now. He said, well, I'm talking to you guys. I feel it coming on me. He said, I don't coming on. He said, and he said, word of knowledge came stronger. He said, it came stronger too. He said, and as he kept walking in, and you could see it come on him after a while, he began to use the word of knowledge. I mean, just calling out healings, just pointing to him. That's all he was doing. Like he was saying it, just pointing to him. But he actually still had, you know, people come up and lay some hands on and all that would come and minister. But he brought out the fact that, you know, how important it was, his dad in ministry, to keep preaching healing because the people would come. But, you know, oil was, you know, he was big on prayer. He was big on prayer, you know. Kenneth said they had bought the land and the prayer tower, you know, hands. He said it was out there 3 or 4 years before they built anything. He said they had to put them hands out there, them prayer hands. Once they were going up there praying every day, believing in God, you know, that the things that they was believing him for would work. And he said, you know, he was big. Many people didn't know he was big in the Methodist. You know, that's what he was, a Methodist. And then he moved. You reckon that's why we got this big old Methodist center down? I don't know. Bet they buying everything downtown. If you didn't know it, if you were down in Union, Methodist just about on it all. from the expressway back this way. But anyway, you know, he got a big handout, I think. Methodist got behind him. Some of the big wheels in the Methodist got behind him, you know, and he was able to put the hospital there, put the school there, and put everything there for healing. Right. Now, that was some more about the meeting. Y'all want me to go back? I told you that meeting was good. You already been in that meeting. Look, that was a good meeting. There were some speakers I had never heard before spoke in that meeting. And they did a wonderful job, you know, coming to edify the preachers that was there. And that's a lot of women preachers, boy. I tell you what, a lot of women preachers nowadays. So I'm going to go back over there to Corinthians and take that out of my Bible where women are supposed to be quiet. You know, Your preacher Ballard always said there wasn't going to be no women in heaven. They said it was silence for an hour. Couldn't be no women. Silence for an hour in heaven. Didn't nobody. That what preacher Ballard always says. Couldn't be no women in heaven. Women going to talk, boy. But it was, I was surprised he didn't actually have a woman speaker there. Gloria didn't speak. She just, you know, came in, her and her sisters didn't sit down. And Dr. Coba was my sitting partner, Jed. I want you to know that, him and his wife. Yeah, I just took my ring and turned it over like that. That Dr. Coba had a rock almost so big. Well, I said, woo, doc. Man, did you get that? You get that? Is that healthy? Man. He had a rock on it. So, and so, not only that, me and Andrew hung out. I don't tell y'all guys. Andrew Warmick. He was there. He didn't speak, but he was there the whole time. Yeah, Andrew's such a nice guy. Just the way he is on TV, just laid back. That's all I can tell you, just laid back. So, anyway, what was I at? Every time I get over on that meeting, I said spending time with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, now we're talking about keeping the Holy Spirit first, but what we need to talk about now more is the subject of self-centeredness, and realize that it has such an effect on where you're going with God. It has more effect than you think it has on where you're going with God. And I was telling you about over in Romans, when we talk about in 12th chapter of Romans, how when you walk into the place where God have you to walk in, it take the years it take to get there. See? It all hinges on the person, too. Because it takes you so long to walk up into the perfect will. Now, it says what is good, acceptable, and perfect will. And I was listening to ministers have been in the ministry so long and just walking in the place where God would have them to walk, thinking that they was all the time pleasing God, thinking that they was all the time where God would have them to be, but not seeking God from this point of view with the knowledge that we're getting now, knowing that we're going to have to walk up to where we're going with God, knowing that what Jesus taught was right. He said, you get this parable, you get it all. You can see now why he said you get it all if you get this one parable right here. You realize that where he got me going, I'm going to have to be with somebody that's going to be able to take me up. Did you notice most of those guys that did a great work, they was with those disciples. It was with those people. And they got with those people in the Bible, so they met daily. See what I'm saying? They didn't say weekly. They met daily. And as they met, you see, they was continually growing. Well, see, Jesus taught these guys. And when Jesus taught these guys, he taught them daily. He was never away from them. He stayed with them all the time. You know what Jesse Duplantis said? He said, you know, I never owed anybody any money before in the ministry. He said, God always paid my way. But he said, you know what I did? He said, I didn't follow Paul. I didn't follow Peter. I didn't follow John. He said, because you know what? When it came to money, them guys didn't have no money. He said, I followed Jesus. He said, I noticed Jesus had met all the needs. He said, that's one reason why I never went broke. He said, because I kept on Jesus about how he kept supplying everything. He said, he told George, you know, George Copeland's son-in-law. See, George was talking to him about TV ministry. So Jesse said, he told George, said, Georgia, what I do is I just stay a year ahead on all of mine. So he said, George said, what? He said, I stay a year ahead. He said, what you mean? He said, I keep a year's worth of TV money in the bank. He said, I stay a year ahead on it. He said, you said what, Jesse? He said, I stay a year ahead. He said, he couldn't take that. You stay a year ahead of TV. You know a lot of money stay on TV, some millions of dollars. And he said, yeah, I stay a year ahead of it. And he said, the Lord asked me, he said, Jesse, what you want me to do for you? He said, the Lord would ask him that periodically. So he said, I told the Lord, sir, I want to be a year ahead on my TV ministry. He said, well, the Lord said, ain't no problem. So he said, the Lord asked him this year what he want. He said, I want my employees. I want to be a year ahead on my employees. He said, I got good benefits for my employees. He said, my employees don't work cheap. He said, I ain't going to live cheap and they ain't going to work cheap. He said, they ain't going to work cheap and I'm going to pay them good. You know, one year he talked about how he took his whole staff to Hawaii. Took them all. So he flew them all over there. So he told the Lord that's what he wanted. He said, and he said, I never owe nobody anything from the day I went into the ministry. Boy, that's a good testimony, isn't it? But you know what? You know what? God won't treat everybody the same way. He won't treat everybody the same. He wants to meet all the needs. The idea with us is that we didn't know how to get him to meet the needs. See? We didn't know what to ask for. We didn't know what we had. But one thing we do know, that God has met every need he said he has. You see, he has given unto us all things that pertaineth. Oh, y'all know. Boy, y'all know. Should none of us be down. We should be continually seeking that. So now, Lord, I know you done gave me everything. But I just don't know how to get my hands on it. See, now could you send somebody by? You could help me out. The Holy Spirit, could you show me and direct me? Because, you know, a lot of times God will hook you up with the right folk. He'll hook you up with if you let him. And then, you know, sometimes Spirit of God says, well, I've been trying to hook you up with Brother so-and-so all the time. He got all the keys you need to get where you need to go. You know, but you kept rejecting. And you say to yourself, that's why I keep thinking about that brother all the time. That's why I keep... There was somebody I told that. I told him, I said, you know, you've been coming to my mind all the time. I think that was Jedi call. I said, Jedi. You know what Jedi said? You didn't pray for me? I said, I didn't think to pray. I just called you. I kept thinking about it. But we don't know how God is using us, see, because we're so natural-minded. We didn't think that, you know, God put a brother or sister on you in your thought life because we think, you know, we can't trust our thought life. But you can. And God gave it to you. He gave it to us through trust. Once you've been renewed, see, you can't trust it. You know, Paul called it the vanity of the mind back in Ephesians. It's vain. You got all these old vain thoughts coming through it all the time. But see, once you get trained in this, you know how to cast down the vain thoughts, the images that come against the word. That's why he told you that. Because God going to use it, but you got to know how to decipher or to cipher the good from the bad. Because the devil does have access. He's going to continue to come along with something to get you off of the word of God. You see? And a lot of times people don't realize that. They don't realize that. That's the way he comes. You know, a lot of times people think different. You know, they think, you know, like that the devil came walking up to Adam and Eve. But, you know, he deal with them the same way. See? But the only deal was he come with a snake to convince. See? How many know, a snake can't talk? But he come with a snake to convince them what he was doing. Yeah, if it is, you know, Bible doesn't say animals talk, but I remember that mule talked to the prophet, Jack, the prophet, you know. But that was, you know, an event where he needed to know what he was doing. That mule had more sense than the prophet. He saw that angel swinging the sword. You keep smiting me, I'm going to walk in there. I ain't that big a fool now. You may ride my back, but I ain't that. As you think, I'm finna walk up on that swinging sword. But, you know, the devil uses everything that's not like God. Your spirit is the only thing he doesn't use. The only reason he don't use it because he can't get to it. If he get to it, he use it. That's the only part of us like God. So we got to conform to the word of God through our thought life and through our bodies. You see, we're going to have to present them as a living sacrifice. And we got to have our minds renewed to continually think like God tells us to think. You know, a lot of people wonder why they don't have no peace. Not there right at all. You ain't thinking like God told you to think. He said, what, the peace of God a garrison and keep your heart and mind if you think like he told you to think. So you looking for some peace? Jump on that thought life. Say, no. I know why I ain't got my peace. I'm not thinking like God said. But when I start thinking on these things, honest, lovely, jealous, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind. it'll do it because God said it would. That's the law now. And the only reason you know you're sitting around depressed and oppressed is because you won't do what he said do. And that's a real simple one right there. Because you know he told you when you got born again, you know, he said, I gave you the peace. I gave you all the peace you'll ever get. So don't ask me for no more. You got it all. And gave you all the love. See, you can develop everything that he's given it to you, but you, the deciding factor, must put it to work. I must work on that. I must find out what he told me to do and how that works and spend time meditating on it. Meditating on it. They said one time Smith Wigglesworth kicked a little child. They said, you see that man kick a child? He said, no, I was kicking the devil. I was mad with the devil. He said, with the child. But most of those people, they said, well, I didn't feel anything. Everybody, you know, if he hit somebody, they didn't feel it. They ain't no devil left. That's all they know. And I tell you what, he can hit me again if it's going to happen like it did then over there. He went, Smith, you know, they said Smith was just bold. You know, Hagin said the Lord told him to hit a woman one time. He said, Lord. He said, hit her right in the stomach. He said, stomach, had a big old something in the stomach. He said, he kept on asking the Lord. He said, Lord, to hit her. Hagin said, well, I finally hit her. That thing just fell out on the floor. See? But you're obeying God. See? That's the way Smith was. Say he obeyed. If he seen something that wasn't right, he obeyed it. He obeyed it. It just was nothing for him to walk up to a person and tell him to get out the chair. Get up out the chair. Get up. So if they get up and fall down, he said, get up again. Say, he don't stop till you walk. And then, what did he do then? He get up and preach on it. He tell you exactly what happened to so and so. And he said, the rest of y'all can walk down and tell you how to get up. He's in a wheelchair. Just clean them all out. Well, you know, if God leads you to do stuff like that, you do it. You do it, you see. And it's other people God don't lead to do things like that. That's why we after the will of God where we concerned. You see, it's a whole lot of ministers out there. They come out, they still ministers of help. They ministers, but they ministers of help. You see, they'll come along and give your ministry the boosted need with the help they got because it's anointed help that they're bringing to you. And they come in by God. And the good thing about this is that God is continually putting people with us to help us. And you have to acknowledge that. And you know that Lord, you just didn't put these people in here not to be no help or be no blessing. They here to help and be a blessing. Now you show me how to put them to work, show me what to give them to do, and above all, show me how to stay in the love walk with them. See? Because you know something about people, don't you? Yeah. Boy said, see, what's that on your shoulder? Got the rump on his shoulder, Jay. You feel a little bad this morning. Yeah, I feel a little bad. That's okay. She can get your rump off of that for you. Yeah, kind of get it off their shoulder. Yeah. But that's just the flesh. I mean, the flesh works, see? And you go and listen to the flesh, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to miss God every single time. You're going to miss God every single time. You see, you have to train and train and train and train till you bring your flesh in a place where it can recognize the good and evil. That's what it says in Hebrews, right? He said you can bring your flesh to a place where to recognize it. Well, that's not an easy job. And you know how come it's not easy, don't you? Paul said it wasn't. He said, I had continued to buffet my flesh. It keep getting in the way. I had to keep on buffing it, keep working. Now, I don't know what his problem was in the flesh. Maybe some of you guys do. But he said he had to stay on top of it. So, you know, if he had to stay on top of his flesh, you're going to stay on top of yours. Yeah. You're going to have to find out where the wrong places are, what's wrong in there. You know, because, you know, the Bible tells us what's wrong. One of the things wrong with his flesh was, you know, that he stayed in the worry. You know, he got over the worry and stayed in it, and he kept trying to get that off of him. See, you know something about worry? It'll grow on you and become a stronghold. You can't hardly get rid of it. But he said a worry of the churches came on him. And it came on him by the devil. Because he said the devil had been assigned to him to buffet him, continued to tell him his work wasn't doing no good. He realized what it was, but you know God told him. You had to get it off yourself. You get it off yourself. You know the same thing he don't tell us, don't you? Get it off yourself. get it off yourself. Because the fact is this, when you start asking God to do things that he already done, he ain't going to do them. He's not going to do it. He's going to tell you that. He's going to say, no, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to do that. You might well forget it. He's not going to do the things that he said already for you to do. Oh, boy. I tell you, God don't change neither. You know, we want him to do it, but he's just not going to do it. He's not going to do it. If he tell you to do something, it's just your part to do right there, it'll just go undone. I mean, how many of us have experienced that? You know, it's so many people that's sick right now, still sick because they waiting on God to heal them. Yeah, they waiting on it, you see. And if God don't send one of these anointed men of God with healing gifts in them, they probably won't never get anything. Probably won't never get. And I know one time we was at Dave Robertson meeting. And Dave Robertson prayed for a woman. And that woman leg come out. She had that sharp leg. That leg come out. That woman got to walk just as straight as arrow. And she said, look at that leg. She said, look at that leg. And then she turned right around and said, you know, I don't believe it. She's walking on it. She said, I don't believe it. He looked at it. Dave Robertson, well, you can see where she is. She just got a miracle. I mean, she just outright, you're walking on it. I don't believe it. Just, I tell you what. Some people use that word all the time. One thing, unbelievable. Now, all things are possible with God. You better turn your belief around if you want God to do something. You maintain, see, because the devil sure shoot that double shot. He'll come right back with it, boy. So you get it feeling good, right? The first thing you say, well, I thought, big mistake. No, I got it. You got to go, devil. I got it. It's here to stay. You say, I ain't no thought about that. God already paid for it. It's my nine. And these lying symptoms cannot stay here. See? Yeah. And then when you make that, stand your ground. You got to stick around a day or two before you leave. I was, you know what Richard said? Richard Roberts said his wife had migraine headache. He says, it was so bad, so she had to, you know, let all the shades down, get in the dog, and just stay in the room. Migraine headache. Say she called his dad. She said, oh, you got to come and pray for me. She said, I got these things going on in me like you wouldn't believe. So he, oh, what were they praying for? And he turned around and walked away. She said, it's still hurting all. he said, he looked back at her, he said, no. He said, you got a wint. He said, you got a wint problem. She said, a wint problem? He said, yeah. He said, you know, the Bible said it would heal as they went. He said, three days it'll be all gone. Said, never been back no more after 3 days. But see, sometime, you know, a man of God don't tell you that because he don't know it. He don't hear it. He can't tell you, you got a wint problem. You know, but he told us, no. See, but he got that unbelief off of, see. Cause she was on the right then. Because I imagine them, they tell me the migraines, you want them yesterday. And you got a migraine. They said, that head be thumping like a, they said, you can't imagine, they said, how a migraine's different degrees of them things. But they said, that migraine is something, boy, make you run, put your head underwater. Mm-mm. That's what you don't want to do either, you know. He might not come up. But anyway, he was saying that. So a lot of times things happen like that. It is, you know, down the road. So I'm saying that when the devil come back, you got to learn how to stand. You know, the scripture said, you know, they shouldn't have wrote in that in Ephesians 6:10. Keep on standing. You know, Hagin always say, you know, you make a decision before you go in there. I'm not getting off it. If I have to stand to Jesus get back, he said, it won't be long then. See, the devil know you mean business. He know you're not finna back off of what you believe. I don't care what goes on now. I'm not backing off it. I'm holding fast to what I believe. So you stand. And you know what we're saying now, it's just some things that need to be in our thought life, need to be in our prayer folder, so we can continue to remind ourselves of when we're doing our confessions, we continually saying what the word has to say. So by the time we get it built in, so when something happens, it just start coming up. Because we, you know what? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So we're putting this in there in abundance. So we begin to say, you know, what God is saying. I'm here to stay. I already know what belonged to me. I know God can't miss it. I know if it's missed somewhere, I missed it. And I need God to help me straighten it up. You know, get the Holy Spirit. Hey, Holy Spirit. Hey, angels, get somebody in here that can help me. See, because I'm standing, but you get somebody in here and help me. Somebody, and you'd be surprised. People encourage you and people come in and stand with you because we need each other in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, we never did read our scripture, did we? That's pitiful. Let's read. Only by pride cometh contention. Wisdom come by the well-advised. Now, put it back up there again. Yeah. Okay. If it's that only by pride come contention, then that's the only way contention comes. See? By pride. By pride. Now, what is contention? It's them heated. It's arguments. Heated. Yeah. So that's what he's saying. You see, when that's what he's saying. Now, let me say this about this. All of us got pride. Nobody without it. You see, all of us got it. You be born that way. See, we born and shaped in sin. You see, we got a lot of pride. And I tell you what, got a lot of contention. I be watching them grandbabies of mine. How did you, boy? They look, if it's them big ones be you saying, what's going on? That's mine. You can't play with that. That's mine. They get in and sit around over here and keep on doing what they're doing. Yeah. Come on now. But what happened is when we grow up, we don't get rid of it. We still have it. We just slick with it. You know, we learn how to get slick with it. You know, you see somebody borrowing something that he got over my son. So, but that's okay. I get it back. When I get it this time, I'll lock it up. you never know. You know, you never know you thought like you did. You know, yes, sir, buddy, you still have it. That has to be dealt with. Because when you got born again, it wasn't dealt with. See? And the reason why the Bible talks about pride and contention, because it has to be dealt with between us. I'm going to tell you something, God ain't going to deal with that for you. You're going to have to deal with that for yourself. You're going to have to get rid of that yourself. And then when we start realizing that that's something for us to get rid of, then we begin to work on it. See? You know, one other scripture in Proverbs said, pride goes before. You know why that is too, don't you? You know why you're going to get in pride? It's going to pull you away from God. You see, that pride is in your flesh. It's going to line up, and you have to, why? You're going to begin to follow that pride because you ain't dealt with it. Now, what we're going to do next week, we don't have time this week, we'll go in, we'll find out how the Word tells us to deal with that, how the Word tells us to get rid of that, and that's what we need to know. And not only do we need to know that, when the light comes, we're going to take that and act on it. We're going to act on the Word of God. We're going to get rid of the things that we need to get rid of. We're going to allow the Spirit of God to work in our midst because we are laying the flesh to the side. See, we begin to bring the flesh to mortification. And we're going to mortify the drives of the flesh, and we're going to allow the fruit of the Spirit to manifest itself in our midst. And when he manifests itself in our midst, everybody will see your fruit. You be bearing good fruit. Now, before we let go now, what are the fruits of the Spirit? One person, just stand up and tell me. Okay, you got it, Patricia? Come on, I can't hear you, Patricia. Say it again. You got nip, I got them all. Hey, Miss Lake, I'll take my wallet and whip you out in. I'll give you $20 out of it. But trying to help somebody. She's trying to look at. I cannot. The jobs, you know them all, because you know what? You don't want to say anything. Huh? You know them too? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's all nine of them right there. Yeah. Now, look, how many times you say them to yourself before you got them? Okay, I thought I saw your lips moving back before you was practicing. I didn't say I thought I did. I didn't mean I said. Well, you know what? We pushed it so long, right? Everybody know. Now, next week I ask somebody to get up. You ain't going to get up. And you give us 4:2-8 in 1 Corinthians 13. you took enough of my money. And you all know something? When I got to the meeting, I thought about how low the man Bill Winston get away a lot more money than I do. That darn Bill Winston look how he had a not a hundredth. He told the girl back there on the board. He said, "You're not putting them scriptures up there fast enough." He was rolling in, boy. And he called another scripture out. He turned around and was up there. He said, "Well, look at that." He went in his pocket. "Usher, come up here." Popped that $100 bill off, boy. He said, "Get that to her. She on the ball now." He went down to come back, asked for another one. She popped it up. He said, "Give her another one." I said, "Oh, look, Bill, come down. Just walk down this aisle over here. I was worse than you guys. Walk down this aisle." I mean, and then the usher come guy, he looked at us, "You look bad, here you won." I thought about my wife. My wife told me, "Quit showboating." You know what you told me? What'd you say? "Quit that showboating, boy." But anyway, I thought about it when I saw him doing that there in the meeting, boy. I mean, he was peeling them off. He outrun me and you have, you know. You was flipping them silver dollars out, you know. See, boy. I said, "Wow." But anyway, he got 600 preachers under him, Bill Winston. 600 preachers. And they all talking about the business side of the ministry. That's what he preached on. That's what Lord called him to. And he said that he told his ministry, you know, he said, "God going to use us. We're going to turn the prisons into schools," I think he said, in the school. And he said, 6 months later, he was calling him out to the prison. He said, "What they want with me?" He said, "We're getting a lot of your curriculum in here. They might change over to school." He said, "Next thing, I'm in Washington, D.C. He said, "Got me up there telling me the same thing." He said, "I didn't know it was going to come that fast." He said, "I thought it'd be a while." He said, "When the Lord had told me to open the business part up, he said, I sent out two of my workers to go and figure out how long it would take us to get it rolling. They came back and said, it's going to take us 2 years to get it off the ground." He said, he turned around, the Lord said, 2 months. He said, 2 months? He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's rolling." He said, "We got it rolling." Yep. He said, "Everything is running well." You know, he's had a hard time getting that church in that mall because it was in an upscale part of Chicago. Now he's on the whole mall. Could you believe that? Boy, I'm on the whole mall now. Yeah, he said, "The people are griping over there, everybody bringing their church in." He said, "Yeah, God fixed that for me." Hey, man, I tell you, God is good, isn't he? I tell you, when God calls you to do something, all you have to do is be obedient to it. Yeah, just be obedient to it, you know, and you go back and do it. But, you know, Bill, he just say he went to ORU to ministry school after I think he has his master's degree already, you know, and was a businessman for IBM. And Copeland says not only was he a jet pilot fighter, but he got a, what did he say? He got a something from the government, from the military. I don't know. He said it was a, I forgot what he called it. But it's a medal. Yeah, it's a medal. I was trying to think what medal it was. I don't know, it was a medal of honor. It was a high-ranking medal that he never talked about, you know. But Copeland talked about it before him. So. Y'all stand up, it's after 12. And I told you I canceled Piccadilly out. That's why y'all stayed these few minutes after.